In number one, work continued as usual, till number three exploded. The sound of the explosion brought the tension, already at a high pitch from the weight, to a paroxysm. No one knew exactly what happened during the first few minutes. The men working at the ovens left their posts and gathered at the far end of the room, where they tried to figure out what was going on and what steps to take. They did not have long to puzzle, however, for the SS guard came over and asked who had given them permission to stop work and leave the ovens. Apparently, the work boss's reply failed to satisfy him, for he dealt the man a withering blow on the head with the curved end of his cane. Each of the SS guards carried one, the better to encourage the Sondermen in their work. Rumor had it that a second Sonderman also had his head split open by the same cane. But the work boss, the toughest man in the commando, was only staggered by the blow. His face was covered with blood, but he was still on his feet. He quickly drew a sharp knife from the top of his boot and thrust it into the guard's chest. As the guard fell, two alert members of the commando grabbed him, opened the door of the nearest oven, and shoved him head first into the flames. The whole incident happened in the space of a few seconds. But another SS guard, drawn by the crowd, apparently arrived just in time to see the booted feet disappear into the oven. He knew it could only have been a Sonderman or an SS guard, but before he had time to learn which, one of the Sonder crew floored him with a sharp uppercut. With the help of a buddy, he shoved the second SS guard in beside the first. After that, it took only a few seconds to break out the machine guns, hand grenades, and boxes of dynamite. Firing broke out. The SS stationed at one end of the room, the Sonderkommando at the other. A hand grenade tossed into the midst of the SS killed seven and wounded a number of others. Several commando men were also killed or wounded, and the situation of the survivors was becoming increasingly desperate. But when a few more SS dropped, the remainder, about 20 in all, took to their heels and ran for the crematorium door. There they were met by reinforcements, more than enough to turn the tide of battle in their favor. The rest was history. Seven of us were left in the crematoriums. The 12 fugitives were rounded up during the night. They had succeeded in crossing the Vistula, but were completely worn out and had sought shelter in a house they thought might furnish them with at least a temporary hiding place. But the owner had informed an SS detachment combing the area, and all 12 had been ambushed and recaptured. I was already in bed, almost asleep, when a new burst of machine gun fire roused me from my state of semi-consciousness. A few minutes later, heavy footsteps echoed in the hallway. My door opened, and two SS staggered in, their faces covered with blood. The 12 prisoners had attacked the patrol that had brought them back to the crematorium courtyard in a desperate effort to seize their weapons. The 12 had had only their fists to fight with. The result had been swift and sure. All 12 had been quickly killed. But they had succeeded in badly mauling the SS guards, who now asked me to treat their wounds. I mutely carried out their orders. The loss of these 12 companions was a terrible blow to me. after so much effort and loss of life. Still, no one had succeeded in escaping to tell the world the full story of this hellish prison. Later, I learned that news of the revolt had nevertheless reached the outside world. Some of the Katzet prisoners related the story to the civilians who worked with them. And besides, the tongues of certain SS guards were said to have wagged. It was indeed an historic event, the first of its kind since the founding of the Katzet. 853 prisoners and 70 SS were killed. Included among the latter were an Obersturmführer, 17 Oberschauerführer, and Scharführer, and 52 Sturmmanner. Number 3 crematorium burned to the ground. And number 4, as a result of damage to its equipment, was rendered useless. And next week, we will begin chapter 28 of Miklos Nisley's Auschwitz, a doctor's eyewitness account.